Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Imagine a place so high up in the sky, where mountain summits meet the clouds, and where trees cannot grow, and where flowers that would normally stretch a foot or two tall will only grow an inch or maybe two. A place where there is little oxygen and the air is thin, and in the winter there might be snowdrifts as tall as 25 feet high. And here it is, up on the harsh mountain tundra, that a small critter, gentle as a rabbit but smaller, lives year-round. It doesn't even bother to cozy up and hibernate through winter, but instead it enjoys snacking on flowers it gathered during the short months of summer on the tundra. Today we are learning about one of my favorite creatures here in Colorado, the American pika. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to learn what is a pika and what is life like up on the tundra. Why do pika pick flowers? And how can we store up what we need for hard times? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsors who made this lesson possible, including CTC Math. If you're like me, you love unlocking the mysteries and making discoveries about God's amazing creation. If you're also like me, math might not come easily. And this can be frustrating because math actually helps us understand science and nature. My family has experienced freedom from math frustrations as our kids have grown in confidence and skill through CTC Math. CTC Math provides an easy student dashboard and clear path forward. With it, my kids complete short, easy-to-understand lessons at their own pace, leaving plenty of time to play outside and explore nature. Experience a breakthrough in math just as my family has with CTC Math. Begin with a free trial at ctcmath.com or at the link in our show notes. Hey, curious kids and parents, have you ever wondered why chameleons change colors, how volcanoes erupt, or what makes stars shine? With Apologia's award-winning science curriculum, you'll explore the amazing world God made, from atoms to ecosystems. Through hands-on experiments, stunning photos, and a faith-filled approach that shows the reality and wonder of God's creation all around us. So whether you're learning about ocean creatures or outer space, Apologia helps you see God's fingerprints in every discovery. Explore Apologia's award-winning curriculum for preschool through 12th grade at apologia.com or at the link in our show notes. It's time for our trivia question. How much does an American pika weigh? A, as much as a slice of pizza. B, as much as a stick of butter. C, as much as a gallon of milk. Or D, as much as a bunch of bananas. Again, how much does an American pika weigh? A, as much as a slice of pizza. B, as much as a stick of butter. C, as much as a gallon of milk. Or D, as much as a bunch of bananas? Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. And Nat Theo Club members, make sure after this lesson to click over to our bonus video, where I'm going to take you on a bit of a tour up on the tundra and show you pictures and video that I have taken of creatures and plants that grow and live at 12,000 feet above sea level. You can find that bonus video in your Nat Theo Club dashboard or at the link in our show notes. Listeners, if you would like to dive deeper into God's creation with our weekly bonus videos, lesson activity guides, nature devotions, and nature and Bible scavenger hunts, you can access all of that and all of our back content when you join the Nat Theo Club at the link in our show notes. Before we learn what exactly a pika is, you should know something very important about them, and that is that they are most certainly one of the cutest creatures that God made. Now, I know that is my personal opinion, but if you have seen one, whether in a photo or in real life, you might agree. My son, Will, certainly does. While I was researching for this lesson, I had a hard time finding a lot of books about pika. And so my son, Will, he decided to write one for me. I'd like to read you his book on pika. Are you ready? It goes like this. The pika book that will be good for my mom's podcast. Sorry, Mom, I don't know how to draw a pika. Page 1. P.S. This is the only page. Pika are cute. And that is my son, Will's pika book. So it's true that there are not many books about pika. They are a rather unknown creature, and one reason is because they live where not many people go, which we will find out about in a few minutes. Pika might look like rodents, or even like a hamster, but they are not a hamster, and they're not even rodents. They belong to an order or category of animals called lagomorphs. Lagomorphs are a special group of animals and include rabbits, hares, and pikas. So they are a lot like rodents in many ways, kind of like mice and rats and squirrels. But scientists discovered that they are different enough to have their own category. How exactly are they different from rodents? Well, a big difference, and a main reason that they get their own category, is because of their teeth. Yes, that's right, because of their teeth. Behind a lagomorph's two front top teeth, there is a second set of two front teeth right behind them. And this is unique to rabbits, hares, and pika. Pika are a little smaller than a guinea pig. They are mammals and have lots of soft, light brown, grayish fur. One thing I love most about them is their cute little rounded ears. They are sometimes called rock rabbits, since they look a little bit like a rabbit and they live amongst rocks. But they are unique from rabbits. God designed them in their own special ways. I mentioned that pika live here in Colorado, but where else do you think they might live? Do you think that pika live near where you live? Pika live in North America and Asia. There are somewhere around 30 different species or types of pika. Two of these species live in North America, while the rest of them live in Asia, mainly in China. In North America, we have the collared pika and the American pika. Now, I have never seen the collared pika. It lives more up north in Alaska and in Canada. The American pika lives in western United States and southwest Canada. Pika are normally found in areas with a lot of mountains. They live at high elevations, so that means way up high above sea level. Now, something else you should know about these cute little mountain dwellers is that there is some disagreement about how to pronounce their name. If my kids were teaching this lesson, they would probably be teaching you about the pika instead of pika. In America, they are more commonly called the pika, while in other areas, they are often called a pika. Pika comes from the cute sound that they make. You see, unlike rabbits that are often quiet, pika are very vocal. They make a lot of noise up on the tundra, and that's often how my family finds them, by following our ears. Pika or pika make a cute little chirp call that sounds like pika. So whether you call them a pika or a pika, these amazing creatures are well worth getting to know. God designed them in incredible ways, especially because they live in such a difficult place, up on the tundra. Pika live in some of the harshest areas on the planet. These unique ecosystems or areas are called the tundra. The tundra is an area that is high above sea level, so up in mountainous areas. It is so high up that trees cannot even grow there. Most of the ground stays frozen throughout the year, except the very top layer of soil that can thaw in the summer. I mentioned earlier that pika are sometimes called rock rabbits, even though they are not true rabbits. But one reason for this name is because they live around rocky areas called a talus. A talus is a pile of broken rocks that collects at the bottom of a cliff or on a mountainside. These rocky slopes, they create shelter and hiding places for animals, including the pika. And these places stay cooler in the summer, making them great homes in high or dry places. What might look to us like only a pile of rocks is an incredible habitat of homes for God's creatures, including the pika. Pika can live up on the tops of mountains because they do very well in the cold. In fact, they don't do well if it gets too hot out. What we might call a perfect temperature during the day of maybe 78 degrees Fahrenheit or 25 degrees Celsius, that can kill a pika. They overheat very easily, so the cold temperatures of the tundra help keep them safe and healthy. But what about when it gets extremely cold? While some animals go into a deep sleep and hibernate to wait out the cold winter months, the little pika does not do this. It stays active all year round. So how does it stay warm up on the tundra? God designed the pika with a high metabolism or a fast-working body and a thick coat of fur that helps insulate them and keep them warm. This might be surprising, but the pika actually needs a whole bunch of snow to stay warm. Yes, snow to stay warm. Think of it kind of like an igloo. A thick layer of snow helps them survive by acting like a warm blanket, keeping the cold air out and the space under the snow warmer. One thing I love about the tundra is that even though most of the year it's covered by snow and extremely difficult to navigate, during the summer it can be beautiful and full of wildflowers. I always love visiting in the summer and seeing just how much life can be in such a hard place. Just last week, my family and I were visiting the tundra and we found all kinds of wildflowers growing and bees pollinating them. Did you even know that bees could fly that high? You know, it's so neat to see God's creation at work well over 12,000 feet or over 2 miles above sea level. On our recent visit, we didn't only find wildflowers and bees, but we stopped to watch a mother marmot, which is a big furry rodent that lives on the tundra. She was lying belly flat on a rock while her 3 baby marmots played and ran close by. It was so cute. Right next to us on the other side, a couple hundred feet away, was a herd of around 12 massive male elk with huge antlers. They were laying down and grazing on the tundra grass. Down below us in the meadow, we spotted 2 different mama moose with their calves or babies. And there were American pipit birds flying all around and singing. God created so much wonderful life up on the tundra, showing us that even in hard places, great things can grow. You know, with the elk nearby, many people had pulled over their cars and they were watching the elk. But what caught my attention more was a little pika down the hill from us that no one had seemed to notice. My kids and I sat on a rock ledge watching the pika go about its daily activities. It was running back and forth across its tailless rock field. And as we watched, we noticed that half of the time, the pika's mouth was stuffed with grass and wildflowers. Why do you think a pika might pick a bouquet of wildflowers? When my family visits the tundra, we do not pick wildflowers. Most of the tundras that we visit, including in Rocky Mountain National Park, have rules against picking wildflowers so that everything can keep growing on the tundra. You see, the tundra is a harsh place, but it is also very fragile, and we can help protect it and all of God's creatures up on the tundra by staying on the trails and not picking plants. But the pika, on the other hand, they don't have to abide by that rule. In fact, they are known for picking bouquets of beautiful tundra wildflowers. And they do not arrange them in vases as decoration for their rock homes. Instead, they carefully arrange them in a very different way. During the summer, pika busily collect, gather, and store up grass and flowers, because there will not be much, if any, food when winter comes and deep snow covers the land. So the pika gathers what it needs while the tundra still has grass and flowers to offer. When pika gather and store flowers and grass, it is called haying. Haying is when animals gather plants and dry them to store for food later. Farmers do this for their animals, but pika, they do it all on their own. In the summer, pika collect grasses, flowers, and leaves, and then they spread them out on a sunny rock to dry. Once the plants are dry, like hay, they carry them to their rocky homes and pile them up in stacks called hay piles to eat during the snowy winter. These hay piles that the pika make, they are not small. Some studies show that a pika will gather around 65 pounds or around 30 kilograms of food. That is a lot of food for a small animal. It might require them to take around 5,000 trips out to gather grass and flowers in the warmer months. This is what my family saw when we were visiting the tundra recently. The cute little pika would run over to a specific area where it seemed to really like the flowers and the grass because it kept returning to that same spot. The pika would use its mouth to pluck the grass and flowers from the ground near their roots. The pika would then stuff its mouth full of plants so that the flowers and grass were sticking out from either side of its mouth. And trust me, its mouth was full. If we were to carry the same ratio of food in our mouths, it would be like holding four heads of lettuce in our mouth at the same time. Once the pika's mouth was full, it would run to another spot about 50 feet away to a pile of rocks where it was stashing the flowers and grass. And then it would run back and start all over again and do this again and again. The pika needs to store up a lot of food. Because it does not hibernate, but it stays active all year, it will eat from its stored up hay piles during the winter months. Let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to save some food for later, only to go back and find that there was mold growing on it? Or maybe you have gone to eat leftovers in the fridge, only to find fuzzy blue mold on it. Gross. Pika know about this problem too. And they have a good way of preventing it from happening. If mold grows on a pika's food, it could ruin all of that food that they spent so much time and energy gathering up and storing for winter, and that could lead to their death. Instead, when a pika picks and gathers grasses and flowers, it does not immediately throw them into a heap in the rocks. It carefully spreads them out in the sun to dry. Once the grass and flowers are dried, that's when the pika stores them in their den for safekeeping for winter. Isn't that amazing? God designed the pika to know how to carefully prepare its winter food, including drying it out in the sun to prevent mold. God designed the pika to store up what it needs to survive in difficult seasons. In a similar way, God helps us prepare for hard times too. We can't always see the challenges that we are going to face, but God knows all about them, and He helps us store up what we need right now to get through those hard times. What exactly does God help us store up? I can think of two things right away: His truth and His hope. What does the Bible say about storing up God's truth? Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Think about the little pika facing the hard conditions of winter. Sometimes our hard conditions come when we are tempted to sin or do something that goes against God's ways. This verse says we can store up God's word to protect us from sin. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the teaching of Christ live in you richly. Use all wisdom to teach and instruct each other by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Did you hear that? Let the teaching of Christ, that's His truth from Scripture, live in you richly. Imagine being a pika during the winter, when the wind outside your den is howling and it's bitter cold and the land is covered in feet of snow. There is no fresh grass and no flowers to be found, but your den is richly piled high with carefully stored, tasty food. That is what it is like to have God's truth and the teachings of Christ stored up in our hearts so that we can face any hard situation. We can store up God's word, hiding it in our minds and hearts, by reading the Bible and studying what it says, and by memorizing Scripture. And what about storing up God's hope? As we store up God's truth, we are often reminded of His hope, and His hope keeps us going when things get hard. Hebrews 6:19 says this about the hope that we have in God: "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, sure and strong." And listen closely to Lamentations 3:21 to 23. "But I have hope when I think of this. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop. They are new every morning. Lord, your loyalty is great." Picture the little pika all huddled up in its den. Do you think it knows that winter will eventually turn to spring and there will be fresh grass and flowers growing again? Although God designed the pika to live well in every season and prepare for the hard times, pika cannot hold hope in their hearts like we can. God has given us an everlasting soul that can experience His hope. When we are in the middle of a hard season and wondering if the challenging circumstances will ever end, we can hold to the hope of God that we have stored up in our hearts. Romans 5:5 says, "And this hope will never disappoint us, because God has poured out His love to fill our hearts. He gave us His love through the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us." So listener, as we live on this planet that is broken by the curse of sin, we know that we will face hard times and seasons. But right now, we can be carefully storing up God's truth and hope to keep us going through those hard times, just like a pika storing up food for winter. It's time now to answer a question from one of our listeners. Here is today's question.
Hi, my name is Lucy. I'm 7 years old. I'm from Missouri. And my question is, how do birds get their color?
That is a great question, Lucy. How do birds get their color? Yesterday, I was pulling our car out of the driveway on my way to the store, when I and my son who was with me, we saw many bright yellow goldfinch birds swoop down into our front garden and land on sunflowers. My husband, he was right inside and he happened to be looking out the window and he called me and he said, "Did you see the goldfinches?" We were both so excited to see so many bright, beautiful birds in the garden. I replied and said, "Yes, it's goldfinch and sunflower season." One reason my family plants sunflowers is because the goldfinches love eating their seeds. And the seeds are what help the goldfinches' feathers turn bright yellow. Many birds have faint colors during part of the year, but in mating season, the males need to turn bright colors to attract a mate. One way some birds change the color of their feathers is by eating foods with something in them called carotenoids. Carotenoids can help change their feathers into bright yellow, orange, or red colors. Yellow goldfinches and red cardinals get their beautiful colors in this way. Carotenoids come from plants, including sunflower seeds. So birds can get carotenoids by eating seeds, fruits, or insects that eat those plants. Not all birds get their colors through what they eat. God also designed many birds with beautiful colors and even to be shiny through the tiny shapes in their feathers that can reflect and bend and bounce light, kind of like a rainbow or a soap bubble. This is called structural color. Thanks for your great question, Lucy. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And Nat Theo Club members, make sure after this episode to click over to our bonus video, where I will take you on a bit of a tour up on the tundra and show you my videos and pictures of creatures and plants that God designed to live way up high on the tundra. You can find that bonus video in the show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. All right, it's time to answer our trivia question. How much does an American pika weigh? A, as much as a slice of pizza. B, as much as a stick of butter. C, as much as a gallon of milk. Or D, as much as a bunch of bananas. The answer is B, as much as a stick of butter. An American pika normally weighs between 4 and 6 ounces, or around 114 to 170 grams, about the same as a stick of butter or just a little bit more. Now it's your turn to explore. Go find a creature gathering food. If you live near a tundra in a mountainous area, perhaps go see if you can find a pika. Or step outside and see if you can find birds gathering up insects or ants gathering crumbs and taking them back to their nest. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this lesson on the American pika, please share it with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all alone.